That's 175 times our rate went up here. Out of that time, 83 of that, there was somebody here. So probably 50% of the time, we missed a call. I'm at home, 3 o'clock in the morning, a pager goes off, I walk out and radio, tell dispatch on the phone. So we're working on getting some more people up here. We've got 5 right now, and maybe try to work during the daytime, mostly. I'm up here usually on Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays. We've got a guy that comes up here on Sundays, another one on Wednesdays, and hopefully we're getting, out of Monday, he quit, he left. So we're doing the best we can. So I just tell folks to make sure you have good fire insurance if you can get it. Make sure you have your fire extinguishers. They tell people in the mountains to always have all your valuables in a place where you can grab it and go. That's a great suggestion, because if we ever have a wildland fire out here, something comes out of the mountain, or a house takes off in the summertime and it catches a warm on fire, this whole mountain will be gone. And there's nothing we can do about it. MDF and Forest Service guys have been up here. They've made surveys of it, and basically it's a write-off. The houses up here are so tight together. There's so much brush and underbrush put around them, but there's no way we can put a crew in there to save your house. Do it safely. And, you know, the houses are nice, but the firemen are more important, and you, of course, are more important. You need to get these and get out. We do have that fire in here, so if we ever do get something that's really major up here, if we can, tell Peter if they remember it. Get that siren, so if you ever hear that siren go off in daytime and nighttime, go outside and look and see what's going on. Probably going to be a fire of some sort. We've had a couple fires up here. One was just right up there behind the hills up here by a mile. I assume a stolen car because it was burned. It was a grass fire. And it came in around 2:30, and it was 5 o'clock before we got somebody from BLM and Forest Service guys in here, because they're all off. So you had to be called at home, go all the way to Kyle, pick up an engine, drive all the way around to get here. We were here, we had the Cayuse race came up, but there's no way they can get up to before they have to go on those roads. So we finally were able to get up there, and the fire actually pretty well burned itself out.
Oh, wow.
And then a couple weeks later, had another kitchen burn. Actually, it was the burn in Level Canyon. And the vehicle was forced to burn. So that's something we don't really have up here. A lot of people in California, that was everyday occurrence, kitchen burns. But here, we had that too. That was a pretty time. We had one little accident here about 3 weeks ago, I believe it was. During nighttime, a gentleman turned his own vehicle into alcohol, went to jail. But he came down the road. Right across the center divider, the parallel box on the other side of the road, and took his car and rolled it, was up right now.
Oh, wow.
He walked away. The lucky thing about it was that actually there was someone coming the other way and hit him. And that's our big concern up here, is head-on collision, because there is no center divider in the roadway. Anyhow, last year we had 83 calls, 37 vehicle accidents, 14 medical aids, 83. This year so far, we've had only 14. It's been kind of a quiet year for us up here. But summer's coming. Forest Service crews should be here, staff an engine up here, somewhere around May 6th or May 10th. We've got additional engine up here during the daytime. We do have a full crew this year. Last year, we only had enough to be here 5 days. This year, they'll be here 7 days. So the green engine should be here unless they're in California or Oregon. I was talking to the guy today, he said some of the snow in this area down here, so probably the major fires this year is going to be up in Idaho, up that area. And that's where they'll be. So when they're gone, I'll try to come up and cover it. We can get some people up here, but that's a crapshoot. Talking about speed, there's a vehicle accident, or speed, I had a gal up here about 3 months ago. She was 19, or 18 or 20 year old, the nursing student from Trump, was going to school in Vegas. She was doing 110 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness.
She also got stopped, but she didn't have auto insurance, and her ticket was $1,200. Most 18-year-old kids don't have $1,200 to take it for it right out. Another one is that I spent the Metro guys last year at 113. So this the signal out here is basically for us to go to the Vegas side. I'm usually now, especially in the morning time and the evening time, I sat out here for 2 or 3 minutes, the lights aren't waiting out in traffic, and I just run on by. So I'm gonna hit the light, shut them down. Anytime we go anyplace, we should be, we're gonna shut down the traffic. And this has always been the halfway point between Vegas. So a lot of people, if they have, you know, kids, they drop off, you know, I'll meet you at the fire station. Well, when they had the oak tree out here, that was really nice and 2-lane road, no big deal. But this thing out here, I tell the people to go across the street. If you pull out going back to Vegas, you can't see the people coming. If you're across the street, you can see them coming. So I keep telling them, don't park here, go across the street, do your changes. They change grandmothers, babies, guns, ammunition, refrigerators, you name it, it gets swapped here. It's kind of funny. So, other than that, that's about it. We're going to do what I can to get as many people up here as I can during the day. Nighttime, I'm up here nights, so I'm drops around and driving back. I stay up here, I'll be here tonight, so I'll be here tonight. So nighttime, there is someone up here every once in a while. But at nighttime, we've got to come out of the Vegas area. It's 14 miles from Postal Station 66, or out front. And Trump is excellent. Anytime you see it, we'll find them down there. Thank you very much, because they come all the way up to the final 30, 32, whatever they have to do to come up there and cover them, and cover our calls. So they do an excellent job. Of course, most of the people who do are from people anyhow, but still, that's out of that county. So anytime I can, I get there, I send them home, because I live in Crump, and I want that fire engineer in case my house catches fire. And just to be. Anybody have any questions?
Things. First thing, you see that your shirt says chief.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. I get 2 extra 0 on my paycheck. when Maxter left, I was the only one up here. So you know, I got it by the process of osmosis, not by the process I didn't want. You know, so anyhow.
The Forest Service bringing up a truck for some, are they going to staff up here just during the daytime?
Just during the daytime, yeah. That's
so it's not 24 hours. No.
They don't work 24. They're 8.5 or 9 hour operation. Usually from 9 to 6 is this time.
And then the meadow fire that happened a couple of weeks ago. I rode up on that the next day accidentally while they were still putting it out. They were in the finishing process. Just for the local residents, if you care, the grass in the meadow was always 2 feet tall or better. Now it is down to ground level. I've been picking up cans and bottles and whatever trash I can find as a hazard to get it out of there while there's an opportunity. These opportunities don't happen very often, so we might as well get it out of there. The one thing that they told me while I was out there is there was a car that started the fire, but they did not know at that time whether the car had accidentally started the fire or if the car had been torched, which I mean, And the other thing I noticed is they, in the ring around the meadow, they took off a lot of limbs of trees to keep the fire from being able to get up into the trees. But I can tell you this, from what I've seen up there, and I've ridden through there several times since, we got lucky on that one. Because that thing really could have spread, and it could have come into and through the community, and it could have been real disaster.
That was my question, too, is if they knew if it was accidental or intentional.
Yeah. Get on your horse and go up and look at it.
No, I just meant, I wondered, too, if it was intentional or accidental.
That car sat there for a couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's burned out. It looked like something out of a war zone. The wheels were actually melted down, so they were flat on the bottom and everything, and I was concerned that they were going to leave that way, but they took it out this week, it's gone. I'm glad to see that, so people don't think that it's an area to go up and leave their trash.
Well, had that fire been in July 3rd, with the wind coming this way, we'd have been in problems.
Yes,
we would. But we went across the road up here, the very house up on top, and we're watching the binoculars until Forest Service guys, until BLM got in here. And I'm over with them and went up the hill.
And we were from talking to them, they said they got the call at 3 a.m.
Yes.
So we were lucky they were able to respond to us. It could end up in a tragedy.
Yep.
When was that?
Couple weeks ago.
Couple weeks ago.
So BLM came from Perron?
Pardon?
BLM came from Perron?
No, they came out of Red Rock. That BLM station there, that's their, when they have an extra engine, they run them out there. They very seldom, I think, well, the last couple of summers, they haven't stepped a lot.
Do you know why?
No, why is, because other engines, the Forest Service has four engines assigned this area. And there are three over in Kyle and one over here. Because it's not moving enough for two people. When they get to the new station, hoping somebody down the line, then they'll be able to have two engines here, two engines over there, because they have room for people. So sometimes what they'll do, they'll send the two engines out on assignments, on fires, and leave two here, one and one. But probably 30-40% of the time, the last two summers, I've been here by myself.
So there's no real physical reason why they can't leave do 24 hours here, right? I mean,
that's just how they that's your government for you, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not really considered they're not really considered firemen as we are, because we're a different category. There are some
there's some
title for them, so they just use them, you know, and that's it. And the only time they really make any money is when they're on a call. It's called age pay. So, you know, their fires will last a little bit longer than mine will. I go home, and they sort of may wait a little while longer. You know, I don't blame them a bit. Anything else?
I had a question, Jeff.
Yeah.
Being a new resident up here, you always scare me about the fires, right?
Yep.
When's the last time there was a real fire that took down somebody's house or a number of houses up there, because all the houses up there are older.
There have been two house fires in 39 years, according to Happy. I want to get here 7 years.
About 25 years ago, Joe LeDoux's house burned down.
To the ground.
Where she now lives.
And where she now lives.
Which is next door to me.
Started in the garage or something.
Was that an instance where the whole neighborhood was worried that it was going to spread and take down the whole neighborhood?
Our instructions, I was on the fire department at that time, our instructions was to let it burn and just keep it, or try to keep it from spreading. Mm-hmm. Clark County Fire Department was sending an engine up to help us out, and they didn't make it because it overheated going up the hill. So by the time they did get up, there was nothing on it. Mm-hmm. But it didn't spread.
And the fire report said that the fire started from a dustbuster plug in the laundry room.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Okay.
Looking vehicles now is our biggest concern in the fire service. New York is killing people and burning down major buildings, compliments of these little scooters, because people will go out and not buy a real battery, they'll buy an off-market battery, and they bring it into their apartment, they put it right by the front door, plug it in, go to bed. It catches fire, now they're dead.
Yeah.
And they're killing people in New York, some major fires. We've had probably four that I know of. I've been up here the last couple of years of EVs that come up here out of power. There were two of them in the last month. And they went to Perump, and the people said, oh, you got to have a charge. You can make it to Perump for that. Yeah, if you're driving flat, come up that hill, and your power goes down. So they had to call an Uber, and they called a tow truck, and all the people said, hey, come get your truck, your vehicle, to look there. What do you mean? Yeah. If they do catch fire, it takes 4,000 to 8,000 gallons or 10,000 gallons of water to put them out. If you can't put the batteries out, you have to cool them down. When you cool them down, the tow truck takes them to their yard, and two weeks later, you catch the fire again. So they are a real problem. And the problem, we don't really have any answers from fire service. A lot of people help. In Europe, they've got a big trailer, and they have a crane. You come by, pick the car up, they put it in the water. That's it.
It almost sounds like the solution is, once you get the fire camp down, tow it away and bury it about 6 feet under.
They have buried them. They have to come up and put trenches around, fill them full of water. My personal opinion, if I get an EV up here and tell someone to help them different, I'll let them burn. Let them burn all the way down, because all the problem is taken care of. If that battery gets broken, now you have chemicals and solution, and theoretically, legally, you have to go through it and dig up all the dirt that the water went to, clean all that up and haul off the class one dump, all that kind of stuff. So it's a great idea, it's just way ahead of our time. Thank God we're not in California.
All right. Any more questions for Chuck? Item number four, receive report from Clark County.
I've got a bunch of things, and I know one of them is something you guys want to talk about. I'm going to do that last, so I can get the easy stuff out of the way. The past few years, we've had cleanup Memorial Day weekend where we've had the dumpsters come up. Do you want that again?
Yes, please.
Yep.
Okay. And Memorial Day weekend, does that work for you guys?
Sounds great.
Okay. Will do. And the way we've had them the past times, we've had one on one side and one on the other.
That worked great.
And I've had them switch them out, like on Saturday. Has that worked?
Yes.
Well, heck, I'm doing something right. Yeah. Okay.
Really right.
All right. As you can see, we're down to three board members, or CAC members. Doug Thompson and his wife moved off the mountain. So there are two vacancies. So if you're interested in serving, we can work with a three-member board. Five members is better. So if you're interested, let me know. The La Tap race, which is the Tour de France bike race that they did last year, it's going to be done again this year on May 5th. That's a Sunday. I believe it's Sunday. There's two events. It's the 5th. Whatever it is, it's the 5th.
Kind of
that
whole weekend, isn't it?
No, it's just the 5th.
It's just the one day?
It's just the one day. Okay. They will be coming up through here again. The course is going to be a little longer, and it's going to go down to just before Sandy Valley Road and turn around. I know there was some traffic congestion issues last year, and they know about it. I think being the first time, it was something a little different. Like up at Mount Charleston, they have these events all the time. This is the first time this group of NHP officers had done it. So they definitely learned some things last year. When I have more information, I will email it out to you guys, and if you guys can distribute to the community. But basically, there will be a pilot car operation during the time of the race. And anyone that's coming up the hill, which I can't imagine these poor riders, must be embarrassing. If they aren't going to be able to make it down and back and off by noon, they don't let them come up. So, and last year they were off the at 11:59. They were done. So, So I understand it's a little bit of frustration, but it's a very cool event, something cool for our community. And I didn't know, and I don't know if I told you guys this before, that the Tour de France starts in England, and then they do part of the race, and then they fly to France and finish the race. I didn't know that. And they're hoping that this may be in the future where they'll start the race here in Las Vegas and then fly to France. I'm sorry, fighting a cold. So, but that would be kind of a cool thing. So, it's a little bit of inconvenience, and just be prepared that morning.
The biggest problem that we had when people from Pahrump was they shut the road down for so long, and there was no traffic going either direction. That was the biggest problem.
There should have been pilot cars going the whole way, the whole time. Was there not?
No, they had the road closed.
Okay.
No, they were shut down.
Okay. Well, and that was...
And like you said, it was the first time, and nobody was going, and nobody knew what to do, or whatever.
The NHP guys were a little nervous about it, just because of the curves and everything. So I think they realized last year that it wasn't as bad as they were afraid it was going to be.
If we could get some kind of an idea, you know, if they were going to shut it down, what...
It's not supposed to be shut down, and last year that was a problem, because... I don't usually look at traffic control plans because that's not my thing, you know. And for some reason, because I trust that they're going to do it, because they do it all the time all over the valley. So kind of late in the game, I just took a look at the traffic control plan and saw that this was supposed to be closed completely. And they were going to make people get off like at Baker and come through to get to Pahrump. And I was like, oh, no, this is not going to work. So last year, they were giving in to my demands, and I'm glad that I pushed it. So now they understand that it's workable. They were afraid of the pilot car thing. But
my advice is May 5th, Sunday, plan on staying home.
It's over, just in the morning, just until
it's
noon.
It's over by noon, though, right?
It's over by noon.
Yeah, it's over by noon.
Pardon? We'll just have a mountaintop party.
Yeah, or come out and watch them. I didn't see it last year, but I heard it's pretty cool.
Don't get aggravated, just one day.
And a lot of the riders really enjoyed it because usually Red Rock 159 is full of cars, and they got to experience Red Rock without any cars. So I guess the riders really enjoyed it. So it's kind of a cool thing.
We all could go down to the bar.
There you go. Have a viewing party.
I guess the feedback, too, was harder than I thought it would be.
Oh, really? Oh. Okay. The 2024 calendar, CAC calendar, we had talked about going quarterly. And I had emailed you guys early on to see if you still wanted to do that, and you did. So if we go quarterly, this is our first quarter meeting. Then it'll be June 12th, September 11th, and December 11th. And I will send that to you, and I apologize, I don't have it. I haven't been in the office. I've been homesick for 2 days, so I wasn't able to bring that with me, so I apologize. But that
September 11th and November what?
December 11th.
Oh, December.
So, and of course, if something were to come up, we can always have a special call. So if there were a zoning item or something that needed to be heard, we can have a special call as long as we have 3 days' notice in there.
Excellent.
The sidewalk vending ordinance, I don't think this, well, yet. I don't think you've probably had, have you had any sidewalk vendors up here? Like those juice carts or anything like that, that you're seeing everywhere? So that is something that is just popping up everywhere. I mean, we've had the food trucks for a while, but the sidewalk vendors, it's kind of a new thing, these juice carts and stuff. So, and they've been kind of emboldened because the state legislature last year with Senate Bill 92 said that sidewalk vendors, that we, Clark County, is required to write an ordinance to allow sidewalk vendors. So we have no choice in it. We have to allow sidewalk vendors, and we have to come up with a way for licensing them. I kind of thought this wouldn't affect any of my areas because who's going to come out here and want to sell juice? And the day I went to our last meeting to Red Rock, I'm driving up Charleston, coming around 159, and there's a guy selling hot dogs right outside Calico Basin. I thought, are you kidding me right now? I mean, I literally had just told the woman in business license, oh, that this isn't going to matter to us. So I think it's just a matter of time before somebody tries to come up here because this is an untapped resource. So the ordinance is out for comment right now, and I would encourage you to look at it. I know it's not the sexiest thing to be looking at, but there's a couple things I would love to draw your attention to on the sidewalk ordinance, and you can go on our website, go to business license, and it's there. One of them is a definition of a sidewalk. And it says sidewalk means that portion of a highway between the curb lines or the lateral lines of a highway and the adjacent property lines intended for the use of pedestrians. It's so vague and so, like, does that have to be paved or not? I think that's something that would concern up here because you don't have sidewalks. So does that exclude you from this? I don't know. I think that's an important thing that you guys should be concerned about, that I'm concerned about for my area as well.
And do these people have to get some kind of a business license?
Yes. They have to get a license, they have to get a food handler's permit, they have to do all that. But we know that people don't always get the stuff that they need. So, but this license would go by these rules. So these rules need to be good, so the licensees have to follow good rules. And the other thing that I would just encourage you to look at is the limitation on locations of operation. It lists a whole bunch of places where they cannot operate. Like within 1,500 feet of a resort hotel, an event facility, a convention facility, within 500 feet of any county park, things like that. That may be a place to say in a national recreation area, in a national forest, there may be things like that that you might think would be appropriate. So I just want to point that out. As I see them popping up in places, I can imagine it could be a traffic problem up here. If you guys have gone up to Mount Charleston, anytime recently, they have guys on the side of the road there, and they'll just stop on the highway. They'll just stop in the road to buy juice or whatever, and it's dangerous. So that, I just think it's a concern. So if you go on the county website, go to business license, and it's for public comment right now. So the other thing I have is update or lack of update from the U.S. Forest Service. I spoke with the area manager. I know you guys want to know about the fire station, that they have a SNPLMA grant to do a Forest Service fire station up here. There's two sites they're looking at, and they are waiting for the study because of water. You guys know water, I mean, is very important. There's one site comes from the Pahrump Basin, another site comes from the Vegas Basin. They don't know if it can be pumped to the other site. They don't know what all that means. They do not have a final decision from their water engineer, and so they do not have a final decision on the site. They wanted to come up and tell you. I know there's been someone up there saying that they know what it is. I talked to the head person, the area manager, and there has not been a decision made. And they absolutely would come up as soon as they have something to share.
Who was it that you spoke to?
Deb McNeil. She's the area manager for Forest Service.
O'Neill?
Deb McNeil.
McNeil.
I may have said O'Neill, I'm sorry. Like a little weird on cold medicine. Yeah, Deb McNeil is the head person.
Okay.
And so, yeah, as soon as they are ready, because I asked her, can you please come up? She said, I would, but I have nothing to share. They sent the information to their water engineers to do the work in July and have not gotten it back yet. So they're frustrated too, because they want to move ahead. They, you know, it's an exciting thing. They want to be able to build a fire station so there can be 24-hour people stationed up here, so there would be an actual facility here. So.
Actually, they won't be 24 hours.
No, I don't know. 24. I don't know.
You know, there'll be 8 and a half or 9.
8 to 9.
Okay. With a new station, maybe it'll be different. I don't know. I don't know.
What's over that?
Yes.
Did she say what the two sites were?
I think there's one on this side and one on that side. I don't know specifically which ones they are. I know one is like the 20 acres that was recently purchased, and then I don't know what the one is on the other side.
The other side is going down east of us, and it would be on the way I understand it. It's east of us, I mean east of the community, and to the south, correct, Chuck?
It's Archery Range.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
it. The Archery Range?
Oh,
so they won't have that no more then?
Yeah, those will have that, but they'll just have it.
On property would be a fire station as well.
And that's all I've got, unless you guys have questions for me.
Any word on our signs?
You know what? I will check right now. I sent it to her a couple months ago, and I followed up this morning and said, hey, I'm going to the meeting. Can you give me an update? And let me see if she emailed me back real quick.
They've come up and they've put some reflective.
I thought I saw a couple new signs.
Done some other things, and I just don't understand why they just can't.
Let me tell you, I gave them a map. I drew, this would be the ideal location.
Yeah.
I sent them a picture of the map.
We had these signs all organized, and they're going to be installed, but guess what? They put them down there for
I think something got lost in translation. So I have not received a response from her. So the request is there. I sent maps, photos, the whole explanation. So I will follow up again with her. Maybe she was out today. I don't know. And I would have followed up sooner, but like I said, I've been home being miserable. So.
Okay.
Okay.
I just keep asking you at every meeting.
I know. Well, and you know what? I had told her, I showed her on the map where the only place it makes sense, because I looked at the ownership and everything, the only place it makes sense is on NDOT, in the NDOT right away, because of the way the ownership works. If you were to put it on your private property, which you would be allowed to do, they would be past the turn to get there. So having it that far back wouldn't make sense. And then just to the south of there is the driveway that goes to that house. And then that south of there is where it needs to be. So I'm trying. I provide all the information. I just got to get them to do it. So, all right.
Okay. Forest Service folks only do Forest Service fire. They only do vegetation fire. They don't do house fire. They don't do medical aids. They don't do car accidents. So they and look here, like I say, when they get set up, we have been talking to people up there. It's going to be a 9 to 6 operation. There may be some people there overnight if they could possibly jump on the engine and do something. But that's what they said. They just do vegetation fire. We're the ones who do it, and that's it. But it should help your fire insurance. Just don't tell them it's
Yeah, so there's not going to be any fire hydrants, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No. All right, thank you, Megan. Mm-hmm. Next item, planning and zoning, none.
Well, let's go, you guys got...
general business, none, and then public comment.
Yeah, we got a public comment. My name is Robert Monaco, Tupanian Drive, and my comment is we just recently met with Deborah McNeil on February 14th regarding the new fire station. We had seen dozens of fire Forest Service people behind our house, so we were kind of curious what was going on. So we set up a meeting on February 14th and sat down with her. And basically what she told us was that these other options that have been talked about a year ago, I guess when we started bringing this to the attention of the community, there was like four options. And we talked to her and she said that those options are all off the table, and the main primary site that they're looking at is the Bill Gang property that was just purchased behind our house and across from Benedict, and that their plan was to transfer water rights from 5 acre feet from Mount Charleston to that site, and that their engineers have said that there's going to be no digging or transferring water or power underground, so that everything will have to be in one general area. And because of the aquifer that they have rights to, the aquifer is the Las Vegas Valley water basin. And it runs, the way it runs, there's just one sliver at the very top of that property where they can drill to get to that water, which is right behind Paul's house, right behind my house, right behind Maggie's house, and right next to the wilderness. So that's what she told us. So after that meeting, our wife and I, she obtained information on the information that they used to get the money from the government. And we're going to pass that information out. It's going to be, it's really interesting, the scope and size of this complex. We told her that we thought that Level Canyon Road and 160 would be a really good spot for it, because it's only 3 minutes away. There's power, we can buy water rights and do it down there. But she seemed adamant that this was the main focus, and it'll affect everybody on Benedict. It'll affect people on the Independent. And what our concern too is the amount of water that they're going to be using during the fire season. It could affect those wells, and we are planning on protesting that water right. So we're going to pass out some information. My wife has a couple more comments to add to that.
So I have, if anybody wants this, I can take your email and email it to you. Yeah, I wanted to give it. Paul has it, and I'm going to give you mine, Megan, when I get done.
Is this what you emailed to me, Paul?
No, this was one that we added on to.
Okay.
And I was gonna...
You can just email it to me. You don't have to give me your copy. Just okay. Email it to me.
You know, when we had first heard Ray Dombrowski talk about the fire station, it was up. I'm getting old. He had brought it up and did a handout when the meeting was up at the Bronco site. So, and had mentioned a few sites they were interested in. I was going to also add to that, in this description of the fire station, it's a $17 million complex. It involves three bays for engines. It involves 8 acres of paving, asphalt roads to it, and it's got 8 trailer pads in case people, government employees, want to put their trailers up there. It's got a dorm for up to 10 people. It's got a workout room, and a lot of components to it. So it's pretty big. There's a picture of the one up in Mount Charleston in here that Deborah said it would be comparable to, and it spreads out over a number of acres because of all the facilities. So there's going to be a hazardous material storage facility. It's going to have 4,000 feet of security fencing and lighting. It's going to have a well drilled for 10,000 gallons for the complex, and an additional 6,000 to 10,000 gallons for a Gila well. So Deborah had mentioned 5 acre feet of water is what they were thinking of transferring from Mount Charleston, where they own a water right, which is in the Las Vegas groundwater basin, over to this portion of the groundwater basin and try to drill it there rather than in the Sandy Valley Basin, which this is actually, I think, sitting in the Sandy Valley Basin. So the split is right through our house where the basins are divided. There's going to be a conference room for 20 agency people to meet. There's going to be a 500 and a 10,000 gallon bulk fuel tanks, parking lot for visitors, so they'll have like a possible public component, a parking lot for 15 agency vehicles, a sewer system, Gila pad, power poles and lines, Wi-Fi and internet, cell phone, booster for the fire station, a weed wash station and a vehicle wash station with some drainage, and a warehouse for fire equipment.
And open to the public.
Yeah. So the picture that I was going to show you is, just use this for a second, that the Mount Charleston facility looks like, if you can see it. It's spread over quite a few acres. So as my husband just said, you know, we heard, it's not that we don't want to support them and have a fire station for the Forest Service, it's where it's located. So it's located directly adjacent to a number of residences. And if you know the National Forest, they've got thousands and thousands of acres that they could locate their fire complex on the backside of the Spring Mountains.
Like BLM stations. Like the BLM station and the Red Rock station.
And so what Bob had mentioned is it'd be so cool if it was right here down at the turnoff to Level Canyon Road, which is like about 4 or 5 miles away. And they right now have an agreement with, what's the guy's name? the Torino Ranch on Level Canyon Road to use his water for their helicopters. And it's been looked at to have it closer to him, maybe closer to Sandy Valley, because their document says that a lot of the fires that they're responding to are from shooting, people shooting and starting fires. And that's basically kind of where the camping is down along Level Canyon Road. And then we had that shooting, fire from shooting on the road to Sandy Valley, I know, a few years back. Some shooters had started it, and it covered quite a few acres down there. doesn't sound like it would, but it really took off up the backside of this mountain here. So Bob and I put together a letter from us. We know there's a number of things that we had concerns about. We also went and talked to the state engineer in Vegas. His job is just when the Forest Service tries to transfer water rights, his job first is to approve a test well from a driller. And then the second thing that his job would be is that if they try to transfer their water rights from Mount Charleston to here, that he would approve it or deny it based on if it has the potential to affect adjacent well owners and if it has environmental effects or it affects people's groundwater rights. So his interest is kind of limited. You know, he's got to wait until they go ahead and transfer water rights to a well where they would want to drill that well.
So he has to wait until the Forest Service makes an attempt or does transfer the rights, and then he can get involved and say yay or nay.
But
that's his
after
job.
After the test well is done.
Yeah. Was that John Guillory that you spoke with?
And so, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that he wouldn't be interested in speaking with the Forest Service, but his job is basically, that's his job, is that he has to approve or deny that application to transfer groundwater rights and the place and manner of use.
I was just going to say that in that letter that she wrote, it talks about, Janet wrote about the potential problems with drilling a well up here for that many people, how it could affect the well owners up here because of the type of, it's a fracture flow system up here. And so they would probably want to do some monitoring wells, but there's no guarantee that information would be correct because, depending on the drought, you know, how much water they're pumping for the fire, it's not 100%. So if there's anybody that thinks that they might be against it, get a hold of us. We're going to make sure that, or try to steer them in a different direction. So.
And my biggest concern goes back to what took place with the communication tower.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what took place was the U.S. government had a stimulus problem and they were looking to spend some money. And what they did is they allotted several million dollars for this communication tower to the east of us. However, in the process, they did not contact the state, the county, and wasn't even aware, didn't seem too concerned about our community. So we never found out about it until the construction started. And I walked up and other people walked up and said, what's going on? Well, we're building this, that, and the other, contractors. And go, what the heck's going on? So I got a hold of our commissioner, who we really got along great with, Susan Greger, and she says, I'll get back with you. And she got back with us and said, we had no idea what was going on. I had absolutely no idea. So the the government came back and said, we apologize. We didn't do things according to the protocol, according to what the procedures were. However, we just thought that Clark County and now your community would be so much better off with this communication talk. So my big concern with this, and I am all for a Forest Service fire station in Mountain Springs. And when it originally was brought to our attention, they talked to us about similar to what this facility was, and maybe a little larger. But now what?
Eight acres of paved land
and
areas.
I mean, not, and so my concern is I never talked to Deborah McNeil, and I know Bob and Janet have, and Megan has. My concern is I just don't want what happened with that community tower. That one day we see construction trucks going down Benedict and breaking ground. And I can go on record saying I just don't trust the government.
Okay.
Can I just piggyback on what Paul said in this last comment? Is that I propose that the board do a freedom of information request. We'll get the documents. They'll have to turn over any official documents. And we won't have to take their word for it. Within a couple of weeks, they'll have to give us any information that's official regarding the siting and the construction of this. So maybe what they're saying is true, maybe it's not. At least the board will have information to work with.
You can do that as private citizens, but the CAC cannot do that.
Yeah.
The CAC cannot do that.
I think the board has to do it.
They can't.
They did it last time with the tower. I got the information that way.
Okay, well, things have changed, and the new DA says that we cannot do things like that.
Okay.
Megan, what was your take when you talked to her?
I've known Deb for about 20 years, and I believe she's telling me the truth. I have no reason to doubt her. A couple things to keep in mind. The information you're sharing about the size and everything is from their SNPLMA application, which is what you have to put together to ask to do a project. So it's all speculation. It's 100% speculation. If we did a station, these are the things we would want. And it was not for a specific site, right? I don't think it listed. I think it listed multiple different sites, possibilities. So I've been involved in a couple other SNPLMA projects. And once you have the site, that's when the design really starts. So this is not the design. These are the things they wanted. Doesn't mean it's too far off, but I'm just saying, just keep that in mind that it's not a specific design. And SNPLMA has to go through tons of public meetings, tons. So there's no way they're going to sneak this one in.
Okay.
There's tons of public meetings.
Do you think, I'm just thinking out loud, would she be willing to come to our meeting and tell us what you're doing?
She told, yes, she said absolutely when she had something to share.
Yeah, but she has something to share now, doesn't she? I mean, can't she come in?
Ruled out?
Like when they first came originally and they said, we would like to build a complex because this is not accommodating our needs, but it's going to be similar. And my concern is what we're looking at is not even close to being similar. I mean, they're talking about 15 acres of project back there, out of 20.
Right,
and also Dina Titus, when she pushed to get the money to buy that property, one of the things that she was pushing was to the environmental thing and the impact, and let's keep it close because we got the national forest and all this other stuff going on.
I believe that property was bought through SNPLMA funds.
Pardon? It was.
Yeah.
But the category of SNPLMA was environmentally
right,
sensitive.
Right, there's several different categories.
Yeah.
So.
And but it was a buffer to the two wilderness.
I will ask
I know what you're saying, and I'm okay with that. I just don't want to do what happened with that tower and have them come back and say, well, we just thought you people would be just so thrilled with this, including the county.
SNPLMA has unbelievable reporting requirements, public meeting requirements. We're doing that with the Legacy Trail in Red Rock, and it's, oh my God, it's a lot. So,
because it impacts, my guess would be 25% of our community, mm-hmm. which is huge. I mean, everybody on Benedict and the residents that are, including me, but not so much me because I'm down and not sitting higher where you can see it or Maggie or Augie can see it.
Then the helicopter's going back and forth.
But right now, we're all speculating because we don't have the person here to talk about. This is all, and because this is just the application, so please let us build this fire station. This is what we think it will be. So I think we need to have that discussion when the people are here that can actually answer the questions. I can't answer those questions. I can only share
with
you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I would be my suggestion for sure to have someone, if not her, to come to our meeting.
She was hoping. They were hoping to have something for you guys by now.
I mean, we just had to set up our meetings.
Can we I'll ask for the next meeting. Yeah, I'll ask for the next, I'll ask for June 12th. And if she thinks she could have something sooner, we'll do something sooner.
Okay.
Sounds good.
In the winter, late fall, I had an occasion to have a conversation with Deb McNeil in her office. We were actually speaking about something else that just came up, and we had some discussions about it. And she told me that if I wanted to see what the complex would look like, go to Mount Charleston. I was going to Mount Charleston that day anyway, so I went and looked at the complex. It's actually quite pleasing. It does. It's not offensive. It's on Mount Charleston. It's.
What about the lighting? Or you were there during the day?
So. I was there during the day.
There is a lighting.
It didn't look like the lighting was going to be obtrusive or any kind of a problem.
Because I heard that on her list.
I looked at it. Didn't offend me at all. My opinion is this: given the fires that I've only lived up here for 6 years, but the fires that I've seen, first one was over on our side, the east side of the property,
right,
going up the comm tower. Fireworks fire, 20 mile an hour wind blowing to the west. It was going to bring the fire right down the hill, right onto my property, take out Paul's property, take out Monica's property.
The interesting thing about that is they were going to send our fire truck up there, and guess what? The government said you cannot put a truck on the forest, on the national forest, on wilderness area. That's exactly what they said.
So the other one, the other fire since I've been here in 6 years was the one recently in the meadow. And if we'd had a good wind on that day, it could have blown it into the community. And from what I'm seeing, the biggest, an equal threat that we see up here, it's not necessarily your homes catching on fire. It's something happening in the forest, something being careless in the forest, and that fire coming up through the forest and then onto your property and burning your house and whatever else, your animals.
Well, 2-3 years ago, we had three or four going on at the same time.
Yes, I didn't count those because they were far enough away that I didn't feel particularly threatened by them. But you're right, we did. There was one on the backside of the post, there was one on the downside of Red Rock coming up the hill.
Yeah.
I know for a fact from living in the valley for over 30 years that living up here, I'm paying an additional $2,500 every year for fire insurance, because we don't have a manned fire station up here. The insurance premiums up here are very, very steep as a result of that.
That won't change.
I think having a manned fire station on this mountain, particularly up here in Mountain Springs, would be a huge advantage for this community to respond to fires that happen in the forest, to stop them before they come into the community, hurt, damage, or kill people and or animals. So I'm very much for it. I don't want it down at Lowell Canyon Road. 3 minutes can make all the world a difference to getting the fire before it harms anybody. If we have the opportunity to have this fire station in the area, I would prefer that it be in Mountain Springs.
Just as long as it's not across your work.
Paul, I said from the beginning, it's on the east side of my property, I couldn't care less. The problem with that piece of property is the slope is so severe that they just can't really make it work. The other problem they have is they go down to the highway, they can only turn to the right because they're on a huge slope going downhill.
Yeah.
It's curving to the left, and there's no left-hand turn. They could try and put one in, but guess what? Somebody's going to get killed if that happens because it's so short and so blind. As soon as they try to pull out and turn left, somebody's going to hit them at 70 miles an hour. It's going to be a disaster.
Well, they have like 8 million. They got millions of dollars to do road improvements too. So
they can't pull out down there.
They have to do some extensive road.
Well, sorry, I'm myself personally, I'm okay with the fire station up here, and I think it's a good idea. This is a fragile forest, and when we have a fire, none of us, our kids or our grandkids, will ever see what we see before that fire. Because it takes 150 years, more or less, to put these trees, or have these trees come back.
where they were before the fire.
And to that point, that meadow fire was...
I'm okay with that. I just...
We got lucky. Real lucky.
I just think it ought to be...
Okay, and similar to Red Rock.
And they'll do, they will do scoping meetings that come up before they do the design. So I will ask Deb if she can come up sooner, if she has something to share. Okay. And it's, and I'll tell her, as soon as she's ready, we're ready. Okay? Okay.
Just real quick, they have already gone through the Snipplemill process mm-hmm. and got their $17 million. Mm-hmm. It's sitting there. They're using it. Right now, I'm sure what she told us with the work that they're doing for mm-hmm. the engineering and looking at stuff. So they are moving forward with some plans. I think her hesitancy was to share them if they're not final. And she said they're narrowing it down to one site.
Yeah, I'll let you know when it's final.
Yeah. But that's not really a good thing for us if they have one site.
She told me and I don't know. I mean, but she's not here to talk about it. Okay, she's not here to talk about it. I talked to her. She's not here to talk about it. So, we'll, you know, when we have the person that can answer the questions, then we can talk about it.
What do you mean it's not good if they narrow it to one? They have to pick one.
Well, they should include us before they pick one, so to say. Because if they're just saying the only site we have for it is next to my house...
Then why even have public interest?
Yeah, and we're a little.
So we're for.
What do you think, Tanya?
Fire station, but we'd like to have it somewhere right outside.
Okay, so I'm getting two different stories here. You're saying that there's going to be a lot of community involvement, and mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of, you know, things that we have to go through prior to before this thing. And they're saying that she's already made a decision where it's going
to be. So from what my understanding is that they have to find out. Say they had four sites and only two have water, and I think that's what it came down to. Two have access to water. Okay. One of them may only be viable. Okay. That, and they don't have that answer yet.
Okay. But they're just telling you what she told.
I know. Oh, I gotcha.
But they didn't purchase the 20 acres.
The 20 acres was purchased by Snipplemill, and it's owned by the Forest Service.
That was a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah, that was several years ago.
Right. Okay.
Then.
We'll hopefully
get more
information in June. And she knows what's coming up before then. And we'll
yep. I will talk to her tomorrow, actually.
Appreciate that.
Any other public comment?
Yeah. Trapping season's over. And I'm in Boston and golf, so I guess.
That's good.
That's good.
We've had a dog injury this season.
I've had several dogs in the trappers.
I just wanted to make an announcement or
request.
A request. I don't know if you all know, I am from Sandy Valley. I live in Sandy Valley. We are, and I also work at the school. I'm a secretary at the school. We are trying to send our senior class to California for a senior class trip. And I am selling drawing tickets. And some of the items in the drawing are a two-night stay at Buffalo Bill's with food credit and headliner shows, some South Point headliner shows, two tickets there, a dinner for two, and then a night stay for two, and then a lot of gift baskets. Even Megan donated three gift baskets for us that she actually made some stuff for us, like a horse basket. We have cat, dog, family games, and everything like that. So if anybody's interested, please see me after.
Okay, how much are the tickets?
They're a dollar.
Oh,
yeah. Are you also selling tickets for, I think, a couple tons of hay or
alfalfa? Oh, yeah. Well, the PTO, yes, Okay, so the PTO is selling tickets for hay. I believe they're $20 a ticket.
I think it's a big, they put a big bale of hay.
It's a big, I think it's both alfalfa. I think it's either a scoop of cubes or bale or a ton of alfalfa, I think. I'll look it up right now.
Somebody donated and somebody's buying on top of it, so it's going to be a lot.
Yeah. It's one of the big bales.
Yeah. Yes. And then I don't know if anybody frequents the Idle Spur, but they're doing a fundraiser too. There's baskets. But school has nothing to do with that.
So when is the drawing? When is the drawing?
We are trying to get them to go. We're set for May 10th.
Okay.
So it'll be prior to that. And of course, you guys are, you know, our neighbors. So I could get you, if you win, we could get it to you. We just haven't set the date of this drawing yet, because we're hoping for like maybe a big thing at a softball game also. When we do the drawing.
The hay drawing is for a giant hay bale, the big round ones, or a full scoop of cubes. And it's going to be announced on the 15th, and those tickets are $20.
Is that going
for the
same benefit?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right.
Any other public
comment? Yeah, I get another suggestion.
Megan's
looking like, oh, my goodness. When you look like that, I know something's coming.
I suggest that our next meeting in June be...
At the bar.
Outside.
Okay.
Hopefully we don't get these 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, no kidding. You can't plan anything these days.
So when you set up our next meeting...
Sounds good to me.
I have to do this.
That's it.
All right, next meeting date, June 12th, and we are adjourned.